Today is February 25th, and this is a live count on what we have left. March 10th, New York, our second show. There are 42 tickets left. Chicago, 5 to 7, March 30th. There are 5 tickets left. Chicago, 9 to 11th on March 30th. There are 2 tickets left. Houston, I don't know, maybe like 50 or something. I can't count. That's April 20th. Miami, there's about 80 tickets left. April 27th. And Toronto, we have...
only like 20 tickets left.
20 tickets left.
Yeah, like 20 tickets.
Now listen, I'm really fucking excited to see y'all. We're in Atlanta right now recording this show. We just turned to fuck up with them niggas. We need to show them out. So enjoy this show. Buy some tickets. Love you.
Looking forward to seeing you guys. Welcome to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. We are actually here recording like on a weekly time set, so this is weird.
We've never recorded on a Sunday.
We never really recorded, not only on a Sunday, but like the day before we dropped. So we're giving you guys like live updates on what's going on with us. We just had our Atlanta show last night, which is why
Weezy,
I sound like this.
I don't know if you know that. If you ever,
I mean, you
never
started off, hey, this is Weezy.
No, I want to tell you guys again. I'm Weezy.
And this your girl, Mandy.
You hear me? This is my phone sex voice. The guy at the hotel said that to me. I walked up to get my key and he's like, yo, what do you do? I was like, oh, I work in tech. He's like, nah, what do you do? So I thought maybe he knew the podcast. I'm a podcaster. He's like, you sound like you do phone sex operations.
He was just trying to say you look like a hoe.
Which honestly,
you probably sound like me.
But you know, I want you guys to tell me if you feel like I could get 60 cents for a minute, let me know.
That's the price?
I don't know either. I figure if webcam is like $1.20 a minute, you know what I'm saying? And that's visuals. Let me do half without showing my pussy.
That works. And you could be like anybody you want.
You know?
With phone
and then
sex.
Like also like I could be doing something. I could be like tweeting or like, you know what I'm saying, getting my nails done. I'd be like, yeah, you like
And you couldn't be getting your nails done because them hoes be loud as fuck
they
in the background.
Do.
They be, no.
Stop
I'm sorry.
It.
That's what they be saying.
So
they be loud
racist.
Because
they really
not,
be like,
I don't know
honey,
how to talk
you want
Chinese.
Gel color?
Oh, but I
you want to do your eyebrows?
See?
You want what? That's fucked up. I'm sorry. Because you know Asians are POCs. We got to stick together. I can only talk shit about
I know.
White people.
Yeah, you like calling them POCs.
They
mom.
Are POCs.
I guess.
Oh, when you were in Asia, did you
not
see some dark in
you? No, well, when I went to like Southeast Asia, so like when I went to like Malaysia, Thailand, Cambodia, and of course the Philippines, they were dark.
That sounds Asian to me.
Yeah, but nah, bruh. They weren't.
You know why? Because the Asians that we see on TV look like we think they're supposed to look.
No, but
light,
that's all
white, pale, no, crazy rich Asians, no dark Asians.
But that's in Singapore,
much
which
like,
I was going to say. I lived in Singapore and they're like that.
Much like they fucking, that's what they try to show us on TV.
Koreans and Chinese aren't that dark.
Let me tell you, they show us the same, that they're not the only Asians though. They show us that same thing with Cubans. I went to Cuba, had no idea that 70% of Cubans were black. You know why? Because all I see is this Miami cool car looking thing on TV. They don't want to show none of them niggas.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
So, well, POC.
All right. They still ain't niggas, but yeah, gotcha.
I was about to say yellow is the color, but wow. Hit the problematic light on some Jesus and Meryl shit.
Yeah, let's not do that. But I do want to sit here and say thank you to everyone except one pussy asshole who came out to the Atlanta show last night. We had a great time. Y'all were a lot of fun. A lot of y'all were drunk as shit.
I want to like also say like... if you're coming to our shows, the ones that I just announced maybe in the beginning of the show, like if you heard that, if
drink
you have
water.
A ticket.
Drink water.
Drink
I'm sorry.
Drink water in between. The only drunk person that I wasn't that mad at was the dude whose birthday it was.
It was his birthday. He had a flower tiara.
But he fell asleep in the show, my nigga.
No, he was sleeping in the back. He was so knocked out.
Oh, he wasn't sleeping in the
show?
Like
no,
the
not in the not during the show. He went all the way in the back corner. There was an empty seat. We were cleaning. We said, honey, we're clearing up. It's time to go. It's time to go. You and your tiara.
We
honey, gotta go.
This is how I knew he was fucked up.
He was
we
so
start the show. We're like, oh, thank you for coming to the show, everybody. Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, come back to Atlanta.
That's literally what he said before.
We just got here, nigga.
We got on the set. I said, can we leave first?
We're still up.
It was a great show. I do want to sit here. Look, I do want to sit here and say, I know y'all be coming at me for this. But there was one incident, and this has not yet happened at a show. So
that shit made me feel like we need security,
I'll
bro.
I'll sit here and bring it up because a lot of you guys have been tweeting about it. And so everyone's like, oh, bitch, I can't wait for you to talk about this on the podcast. So basically, during the...
Oh, shout out to our host, Jerome Trammell. He was great.
Shout out, Jerome. But at the end of our shows, if you guys have been to our shows or if you have not, we do allow a live home mail segment. And so this girl stood up, and I only remember her name because she said, "Oh, wait, Ashley." So her name was Ashley, and she stood up, and she sounded like her. She was just her aesthetic and how
she
spoke.
She was like, "Hi, Mandy. Hi, Mandy.
Hi, Weezy. I'm Ashley. I'm so glad to," like, really professional, like, really nice. I said, "Oh, girl, you went to the AUC or Spelman, huh? Awesome. I know all of our motherfuckers, all of our listeners are educated." So this bitch, when I sat here and asked if she went to Spelman or anywhere in the AUC, her response to me, for whatever the fuck reason, was, "Actually, well, I grew up in a two-parent household, so I can form sentences correctly, and I have a larger vocabulary because they communicated to me." It's pretty much what the fuck she said. And when I tell you, even so, shout out to Steph, 11-8, Baller Alert, Revo, all that. She was in the building. She said, "Ma'am, I've never been in a room where I saw 300 people ready to jump one bitch. Ever."
So it's funny because I think we all looked at someone different in that moment. So shout out to AJ and Toya. They came out. Some friends of mine from LA, they're looking at me when you started going off, and he's giving me the hand like, cut, well, bitch.
I'm literally, so my
because
friend,
you were pipe, you were getting so upset that made other people get upset.
No, but because the audience was no.
They were already upset. I'm in your defense, Mandy. Relax.
Yeah, but that's fine.
What I'm saying is,
yeah, no.
When you watch someone, you came out to see somebody, you love them. You listen to this podcast. You're already mad at what someone said. Now you're watching that person have that same energy that you had in your head, and they're reflecting that shit. Both of us on stage. Because I was the first one who said, "Can you clap if y'all grew up in a one-parent household and you're doing well, you got your own shit, you have a degree, you're making money, you live in life." Mad people clapped. Then bam, you go. Talk about your accomplishments, what the fuck you've been doing, how that bitch could sit the fuck down. And everybody's like, "Yo, they tight too." Mind you, I grew up in a two-parent household and I personally fucking felt offended. Yeah. How the fuck you gonna talk about everybody in our lives? First of all, two-parent household doesn't mean that wasn't your circumstance. Your parents could have fucking died. You could have grew up in foster care. So are we going to talk shit about people that, what, are dark-skinned, that came out handicapped,
well, no,
disabled?
I just think it wasn't even, I was going to let it go. So it wasn't that I was, I personally don't feel like I was exuding frustration or anger at her. The response of the audience was definitely more so than the response of me. I feel like I laughed it off, and it wasn't until she kept going and insinuating that her vocabulary was subpar of mine because of her two-parent household. I went off on her. First off, I had to look at all of my friends who are in the front row looking at me like, "Bitch, you want me to get up?"
I had to sit
here and tell all my friends, like, "Don't worry about it. It's not even worth it." But I went off more so because, yes, I went and I said, "Listen, bitch, what we not going to do is come up here and act like I'm any less than you." And I sat here and said that I grew up on Section 8, 4C, food stamps, free lunch, all of that. You know, I got my Christmas gifts from the Salvation Army some Christmases. I spent time and grew up in a shelter with my mom. So, like, I've been through all of those things. So to sit here and insinuate that my vocabulary is any less because I didn't grow up with both parents, I was very upset. A lot of our audience members, and because we do cater to the minority community, and unfortunately we are already put down in the communities because of how we grew up, through racism, through just how whites, like, we're already oppressed. So to sit here and make it seem like you were better, yes. So I sat here and went on to her, and I did say at the end, I said, "Bitch, I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck what the fuck you about to ask. Next."
I didn't even know Jerome already walked off.
We couldn't see him.
And then he said,
and I was like, "We are not."
He said, "I'm not going to be by this bitch when she get jumped." Hold on, wait.
The whole
audience
was ready.
Let's talk about the end really quick. What's funny is, so we were already kind of annoyed about this after, to the point where we even talked about it when we went backstage. We go out, we're ready to be in a good mood.
Y'all, she bought a meet and greet.
Hold on, wait, let me finish. So meet and greet, in my opinion, can also be the best part of the show because that's people that legit fuck with you.
Yeah.
So to me, I was already in this bad mood. And I was like, "All right, let's go enjoy and hug everybody, have a good time." Now, I want to say this one thing, which is why I didn't really realize it was her. The last time I could think about it is when we were in D.C. Everybody has their favorite in the show, right? This happens to us wherever we go. They hug us both, and they'd be like, "Okay, but Mandy's my favorite. Okay, but Weezy's my favorite. Let me get a picture of my girl crush, or this one or that one. Let me take a picture of your booty, Mandy." It's always something, right?
This hoe came up and said,
"Only Weezy.
Only Weezy." Like, just like that.
But I didn't know it was her.
Oh, well, I do want to sit here and say, Ashley or whatever, you fucked up because, bitch, my friend was helping take pictures, so I know none of yours came out good. Next.
Did you know that was her? Because I didn't know it was her.
I was until as soon as she walked away, she came to me and was like, oh, bitch, she ain't getting no good pictures because, bitch, I know that she's the one who disrespected you.
So
we couldn't see her in the audience, but everyone else knew who she was.
I wouldn't have taken a picture with her.
Yeah.
Because when she said, I thought she was a little rude when she goes, only Weezy.
She was very rude. But I thought, maybe you're her favorite. You know, I said, okay, bitch, I'll back away. Yeah, but it was very, I will say, for any of you guys who are coming to the show, we have such a good vibe and good audience and good crowd. We have a safe space for everybody to come and be themselves naturally. Also, for any straight men listening, when I tell y'all, y'all are not present enough at these shows with these women who are looking. I want to sit here and let y'all know we made a love connection. A couple came. This was their second time at a live show. They actually asked the question last time. They wanted to introduce threesomes. They tried Thrender or one of the apps, Fielder, yes, one of the apps that Weezy suggested for threesomes. And they're like, and it just didn't work for them. So they're like, what can we do if this isn't working for us?
The person sitting next to them was a fucking unicorn. And she was like,
she literally said, well, I'm a unicorn, and raised her hand.
Her friends did that shit to her. She was like, but yeah.
And she got on the mic and was like, hi, I'm
a
unicorn.
They exchanged numbers.
She said, I enjoy dealing with couples. And she said, as a unicorn, I will say I like to communicate with the woman first. She was sitting next to the man in this relationship. So, bitch, the man got up and switched seats with his woman and let
them during the meet and greet, they all came together
for the meet and greet. It was amazing.
Single men, there was a single dude that came. He said his friends canceled on him. Shout out to you.
Yeah.
There was a dude dressed in some cyberpunk shit. Shout out to you too. And the guy dressed like Carlton. He was so adored him too. I only remember four single men.
Maybe four single.
Shit, in DC, I got some nigga numbers. Yeah. Single men be shooting their shots.
I'm not gonna lie. So single straight men, this is not only a woman show. When we have the live show, it's a lot of beautiful, educated, hardworking women who are open with their sexuality and looking to meet people who are like them. So if you listen to the show, you probably can actually connect with one of our lady listeners,
it's
and I think you'll have a good time.
There's so many single men that listen to this show.
So many. Yeah.
Tens of thousands. And they don't come. I was actually walking down the street and this is actually kind of crazy how it happened. I'm walking down the street last week to the train, and this dude, is like, yo, Weezy, I thought I was going to run into you, blah, blah, blah. He said he listened to the show. He gave me a hug. 2 days later, I walked down the street. Some other Con Ed niggas like, bruh, we listen to this shit every motherfucking Monday.
So did we have to start shouting out the Con Ed workers?
Bruh, I hope they'll cut me off, bitch. And I'm like, yo. And I'm thinking, like, all of these men, on a regular, more men come up to me that know me than women.
Yeah, I'll
so
say that
too. So it's
just
crazy that y'all don't come to these shows and actually get some pussy. It's a
you
little...
You know, because they be ready, bitch.
They be horny after.
They be ready to make horrible decisions.
Also, crazy fucking thing. We got to wrap this up. Shout out to Chef Kirstie. She made us some food, and
yes,
I drank her breast milk straight from her tit at the live show.
Yes, I did. You was doing so much.
I don't know why I did that. Y'all, me neither. You dared me or something.
No, you said, I'll
Here's
do it.
How it
and
happened.
Then the whole audience was like, do it, do it. Bitch, you gassed yourself to do it. I didn't tell you to do that shit.
Oh, wait, her tits would look nice, though.
She did have nice tits.
But this is the only reason I did it, because I know this sounds like WPS, and it is. However, the Caucasity in me definitely drank it straight from someone's titty, but the couple was talking about, we were talking about a lactating fetish or babies and diapers or whatever, and how people are into that. So he was like, oh, I've drank breast milk from her titty before. And then Mandy comes up to him, is asking him in the audience, what it tastes like? Is it sweet? Blah, blah, blah.
He said it's warm.
I was like, let me taste that shit. And I was playing. And then she was like, yeah, okay.
And then the whole, do it, do it.
I can't believe she's about to whip that titty out. She did. I at least pulled her in the corner to try to be respectful. You know what I'm saying? So she didn't end up on like the internet and also myself.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, I did. I drank it straight from the nipple. And it was super warm. I wasn't ready for that.
Well, yeah, I told you our bodies is 98 degrees.
I know, but I didn't think of
it. It ain't in a cooler bit.
But you know, like all the milk I drink is cold. That was the first time. Like if it's not in coffee, bruh.
You know, even when it come out the cow, it's warm. It's in a warm body.
I know. I just wasn't ready, Mandy.
See, I don't drink warm milk because I drink almond milk, and that should be sold on the shelf.
My mom asked me how the show was, and I was like, oh, there. Anyway, I don't tell. She's like, what happened? I was like, Mandy cut somebody out, and that was it.
That was it.
All right, so let's get into vanilla shit. We all know what's going on in the news lately. We have Jesse. We have that other guy with the prostitution ring. But I think the
Robert
thing that's
Kraft.
Made us most happy is R. Kelly finally getting his motherfucking ass arrested. So I'm going to cover this article on CNN with discussing his bond. That is $1 million.
That's nothing for him, though.
But he didn't get out. He stayed that night in jail. So it says he had $1 million bond Saturday. Charges for the singer for sexually abusing women, 4 females from 98 to 2010. Under the terms of his bond, he must surrender his passport and may not have contact with anyone under 18. That's a goddamn shame.
Yeah, it is.
The singer, whose full name is Robert Kelly, was arrested and indicted Friday on 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse involving 4 alleged victims. A Cook County judge set the bond at $250,000 for each case. He's one of the most successful acts in history, but he still needs to put forth $100,000 because you got to do 10%.
$100,000, yeah.
Prosecutors also revealed additional graphic details in the accusations. Among the revelations,
there's tapes,
was that he allegedly spit on 2 of the victims, and one of the alleged victims provided authorities with a shirt she wore during an alleged encounter. Wow. Two of the victims were 16 years old. One was 14, mm-hmm. between 14 and 16. The fourth was 24. They said that he used force and the threat of force. The defense team is very happy with the bond, and they feel like it's fair and reasonable given the allegations. Right now, he's presumed innocent. We haven't had any reason to believe that these allegations are credible. Apparently, that's what his lawyer's saying.
Well, that's the thing.
Greenberg, his lawyer, said on Friday that he thinks all the women are lying. Mr. Kelly is strong, and he's got a lot of support, and he's going to be vindicated on all these charges, one by one, if it has to be. He turned himself in just hours after the police issued the warrant. Did you see when they were asking him, what do you have to say for the women?
Well, no. Well, one of the victims, actually, there is a tape. There's a new tape out. It's vivid that it's his face.
And the theater.
Yeah. So there's a new tape, and everyone is even talking like, dear God, we hope this tape doesn't get leaked, because that's just something we shouldn't have to see.
Kids, right?
But the thing is, apparently he was either ejaculating onto her or doing things to her. And at the time, the girl who was saying it was, you like these 14-year-old parts. That was said in the video. So if you look it up, I'll post it for Patreon, the article where I read it. But she actually basically was turning him on by saying, you like these 14-year-old body parts. And so that's why it's clear how old she is in the video.
Wild.
So this was a part of the play that they were doing.
Who's making these tapes?
Yeah. He is.
Bro,
he's making the tapes, bro.
I won't even let videos. When I'm on IG Live and I'm high, if I want to like smoke or something like that,
girl,
I lean the camera over. I don't ever do it. I don't even smoke. And it's legal in some parts of this country.
Yeah.
And you are fucking
a 14-year-old.
Yeah,
but he's been doing this clearly for over 20 years, and he went to court and got arraigned and was found not guilty. All the charges were dropped 20 years ago. We saw this in the documentary. So I do want to shout out to the Me Too movement, Jameela Lemieux, and everyone who was involved with the surviving R. Kelly.
Talking about what about the white men that do shit? Harvey Weinstein has literally been, he cannot walk down the street without getting fucking, like, come on. Let's
I want to give a shout out to those involved with the documentary Surviving R. Kelly, because I feel like it was that documentary that kind of lit the fire under that ass. And that's why he is now faced with these criminal charges. So. Shout out to you guys.
So, not really vanilla shit, but something kind of current. I have to play you this song. So, Medina comes by my hotel or whatever. She gets me this girl to do my hair. And the girl's like, yo, have y'all ever heard this song? And I normally hate when people play me shit because I'm just like, oh, I don't care. She's like, tell me how you feel after you listen to the lyrics of this shit. It's only 40 seconds in and you're going to be like, what?
Okay.
Song is called Side Bitches by Moneybagg Yo.
I mean, the beat's cute. When I'm sleep, I can't sleep at night. She waking me up trying to fight. Crack the code to my phone. The problems in my life. Okay, I don't like when I do that. Why you can't fall at my side? Whatever I say, let my side. Ride or die, let my side. That's right. Side bitches winning. That's why side bitches winning. Okay. Oh, shit.
These niggas got some goddamn nerve, and I'm going to tell you why, bitch.
We might be on a different side of the coin here, bitch.
We are, bitch, so, and I'm going to tell you why. We're on different sides.
That's fine. That's fine.
Because, number one.
That's fine.
If I am not your bitch, why do I give a fuck about what's going on in your phone? If you're fucking me on the side, why do I care? Why do men think that side women are this fucking safe haven for them?
I think you heard the lyrics. I heard them differently.
I think it's a lot of fucking bullshit to give women that fucking hold you down, take care of your kids, fucking help you, live with you, clean up your dirty fucking drawers, to act like your side bitch is fucking goddess. When the truth is, it's just someone that you don't see regularly, so they don't need to give you headache. Because best believe, if the side bitch was in the position that she would want to be in with you or have something like that, do you think that she wouldn't be giving you a little bit of a headache? Why do men act like when they're cheating, we're a fucking problem? That is the number one problem. Don't tell me that your infidelities is causing you a headache because of me. You're a fucking liar.
Right.
And I'm tired of men doing that shit and not praising the women that they have. Stop acting like the side bitch gets all this fucking credit for shutting the fuck up when all you do is tell her that that's what, like, you're literally just being complacent. You're literally just listening. It's like trying to get a job in an interview. Yo, the last guy that I had, he was always late. Oh, wow. You know, I'd be mad on time. Why would I not tell you that? Why would I not do that to get this job? Why would I not do that to get that fucking affirmation, those accolades from you, to keep you on my team? It's so fucked up to make a fucking song like that. And I'm sure this nigga probably got kids. And, like, it just really blows my mind that men treat their fucking women like this, only to shit and act like a side bitch is so much better because she's not giving you a headache when you're cheating anyway.
Yeah.
It's fucking trash. Go ahead, because you said we're on two different sides of the
story. No, I mean, I guess I'm going to agree with you. You know, you said some good points, but I think he was just pretty much saying, I mean, I guess I ain't got nothing else to say today. You did it.
Why you ain't got nothing else to say?
I ain't got nothing to say. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like when it comes to this, like, you getting on him about these lyrics, but you cape for Future when I sat here and brought up what Future does and what, I don't know.
When did I cape for Future?
When I said he was canceled and just what he does and what's in his songs, but you be like,
being petty and just being a...
Yeah, and even
he has six kids, he's single, he's an asshole, and he makes song about like drugs and dealing drugs, like, and hoes, like, but I...
Yeah, but like, so Future, and I said that, so Future came out in an interview recently and said that he stopped doing lean, but to not seem uncool with his fan base, he kept rapping about doing lean and doing these drugs that he wasn't doing. So it's just like, to see here.
Wait. He was.
He quit doing lean. When everyone started dying and stuff with lean.
Okay.
He stopped doing lean, but he purposely kept talking about he was doing lean, he on lean, to seem cool, even though this was a drug that's out here killing people. So it's just like, he may not even rock with side bitches like that. It's just for the music. And someone will rock to it.
I'm talking about how do the lyrics make you feel?
I mean, I ain't gonna lie. That's why side bitches went in. Hey, so this is my problem too. I'm not gonna lie. There's a song and I heard it on Joe's show, and I feel absolutely awful. I don't know if y'all know YMN Melly or some shit like that. He's a kid from Florida. And he actually murdered two of his best friends.
Oh, my God, I know.
But he got a song, and that shit goes so fire, bitch. And it's talking about murdering his best friends, and I feel so bad. This is really bad. That bitch, I was like, I got a murder on my mind. How it go? Hold on, let me play it for you real quick. I feel like I know.
I'm sure people saw it on Twitter, but let's definitely play it again. But that shit is
crazy. I want y'all to just hear. It's called Murder on My Mind. I just want to play a little
Bodies
tiny
Bodies on the
slip
flow and shit?
But just real quick, I know we ain't no music podcast, but this shit kind of fire, but...
It's not fire, though.
No, it is, though. Just listen real quick. And he talks about killing his friends, and he actually did it.
Song. Like, I see why people like XX, but...
None of that. You snitching. just to the hook. Just to the hook.
I know. My body's on the floor. This is crazy. Don't ask me no mention. And I'm gonna smoke all of my pain away. Cause that's the
only thing that gon' heal it. I don't understand you women. I don't understand them either. Pretending, bitch.
Okay, this is it right here.
Glocks and nines, murder on my mind. This nigga killed his friends. And then so the next verse is talking about him like being sad that he can't hang with his friends because he just killed them. But apparently he's schizophrenic and he has like bipolar disorder. But
I felt so bad
that I liked this goddamn song. So this is why
Are people into it? They just can't stop talking about it.
What happened? He made a mistake.
How he made a mistake? Oh, he said he made a mistake.
But he's bipolar, though. No. Yeah, he had to shoot the other friend. But then apparently, he said it was Melvin that did it. If you look on his Instagram, he'll post two pictures of himself and say, "Can you guess which one is Melvin?"
Yo,
he's like schizophrenic, bro.
On some real shit. I went to the Blogzilla movie party and watched Glass.
That bitch. That shit is real.
Like, I mean, maybe not to that level. You know what I say? I like to be Maria, pero, like, I don't be killing niggas.
Bitch. No, you.
Even though Spanish bitches crazy, they probably.
No, use. Spanish bitches do. So they be holding the knives and shit.
I could get my alibi ready. We might need to edit this out in case I kill a bitch.
Whoa, ma'am. Whoa. Sorry, guys. Sorry for our sponsors and everything else. We're not killing people. No, I'm playing.
Honestly, if these is America, keep them shits.
No, you're right.
I feel like we'll be all right. And shout out to them niggas. I was so impressed. Like, the way that people are impressed with Cardi B, I felt like that. I watched that Viceland show for a year and a half and then watched these niggas go to Showtime with their budget, bro.
Yeah,
these niggas doing skits. Fucking Alexandria Ocasio comes out of a mini bodega. It was super dope. So shout out to them. Support their fucking shit. Watch them on Showtime. They're black man that's doing it the fuck up. Yeah. And ex-podcaster. Sorry. Their podcast is dope. But
and back to the music. Just to let y'all know, I don't support murderers. I don't support any of that. But sometimes I ain't even know who this nigga was. But that song was like a jam. So I'm sorry. I ain't gonna lie. Side bitches. I was one. I have been one. So, bitch, I kind of like that. Sad bitches is winning. Let me stop. Okay. Y'all know this is why y'all don't like me in real life. This bitch, I hate her. She's ruining my marriage. My bad. Yes, I'm one of those, bitch. I'm on team side bitches.
Oh my God. Stop.
What? My bad.
I feel like if we came out with team side bitch or wifey merch, I feel like side bitch could sell.
I mean, but it's really sad. But I'm not even going to lie to you. Like, when it came to even starting this podcast, it was all the married niggas that supported me.
Of course they do.
I love that. Right.
They want you to get this dollar.
Look, side bitch is winning it, bitch.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Okay, sorry. Nice song, though. Shout out to Moneybag Yo. Is that his name?
So, I came up with the idea for this outline. Our horrible decision today is Devil Dick. And I want to show you this video. You might have seen it. But I went on a fucking tirade on IG after I saw this video because I really felt for this girl when I saw her getting fucked. And it's reminded me of times that my life has gotten ruined. We'll post this on Patreon. She's begging him to fuck her. That dick is huge, though, bitch. Wait, you gotta see the end.
Put it.
Oh, wait.
Fuck you. Yep. It ain't nothing but.
Let me tell you something. I have came that hard.
I mean, too.
Like,
that was me with 24/7 when
bitch,
we were
I've
fucking.
Come like that. Yep. Yep. I have came and told somebody I hated them.
Oh, I normally say I love you and fuck you and hit them all at the same time.
Oh my God.
I love you. I hate you. Fuck you.
And let me tell you something. When I saw this video, I really felt in the depths of my soul this shit because this is the type of dick that ruins credit, lives, and sanity. You know?
And it comes from nothing but Satan himself.
I honestly, that dick. And then I went and asked, like, where does dick like this come from? Y'all need to let me know because I'm not going to travel there. And bitches were like, the pits of hell, Nigeria, Jamaica, Miami. Like, bro, I don't want any
New
of
York.
This. I'm telling you right now, I don't want that dick. I do not want to come to where I feel like that because that's when I go crazy. That's when I get on my, like, you know what? Let me just look through his tagged photos and just see who he talks to. Maybe I should do it.
What's crazy, and that's not even the depths to where Devil Dick takes me. I feel like Devil Dick, I refer to fucking even 24/7's dick as Devil Dick, and the guy who I did a golden shower with is Devil Dick. Jordan
Keep it.
Is Devil
don't,
Dick.
I don't want
Jordan
any second.
That is dick to where now I feel like we just gonna fuck forever. And I hate, that type of dick is really, really, really harmful. It because is. It feels like, damn, even if I get, I done told niggas, even if I get married, I'm finna fuck you still. Like,
fuck, that, I don't
what
want
type
it.
Of dick is that?
I don't.
I can't be sitting here already saying I'm finna cheat on my husband in the future because this dick I don't want to get rid of ever.
Honestly.
Why?
I remember a dude fucked me really good. It was this summer. And I came so hard, I went in the bathroom and I texted the boys and I was like, we're going to have to kill this nigga because I don't think he wants to be with me and he can't be with nobody else. We have to kill him. I'm dead ass serious. I was in the bathroom still like feeling the effects of my cum and like just that release, like when you're crying. Because yeah. I hate when niggas think you're crying like on some emotional shit. It's a release.
Yeah, no, I've only cried with when I squirted, but I will say like, devil dick makes me sing. I be coming up with jingles. I told you I feel like I'm Issa Rae sometimes, so I just be coming up with whole ass
that
fucking devil rap.
Dick is ooh, super so thick.
I be wanting all of it. Dick. I be like, that was the best dick of my life, and I'd be all off beat and everything, but I just be coming up with little jingles to dick.
Bro,
goddamn,
it'd be too good. So no, I asked some of my IG followers to send in some emails about devil dick they've had. So I'm just gonna read a few of them. Oh my God, Weezy, thank you for bringing this up. I was only one. I reconnected with a guy from high school last summer. We're both 25, and this dick had me partying until 4 a.m. on a weeknight just to get access to the devil dick. The first time, I guess, I was really drunk, and he insisted on putting all of him in me. And ever since that first time, he's learned how to manipulate me into partying, doing coke, and crying after sex because it literally feels like I'm trying to fit a cucumber in a coin purse. First man to make me come without clitoral stimulation and the first man to give me a snack. Frozen gummy bears was our thing. I would keep the bag by my crotch as we cuddled and ate. And also my first man to hold my hand during sex because he knew I needed it for the emotional support. He even smoked me out afterwards, even though he doesn't smoke himself, but figured it would help me. He was a caring human being just because the dick was that good. I've only been with 3 people and I stopped seeing him because I couldn't keep up with how my body was drained the following days, how intense it was, how to manage a career in finance. I work in interior architecture. My male coworker best friend would know when I saw him because he would mention that I had a Gump walk. What the fuck is that? Forrest Gump? I have to mention he is my first and last black dick. I'm Pakistani.
So I wonder if you guys that are sitting here listening to this, whether you're a male or a woman, if you've either been the giver of devil dick or if you indeed have
the giver.
If you, yeah, because I think guys know when they have devil dick. Honestly, fellas, if you don't have a woman that's literally dropped everything she was doing to come get on that dick, you don't have double dick. Like, I literally left my friends. Like, we've been out partying. I'd be like, oh, this nigga hit me. Bye, y'all.
No.
Y'all love
you
me, right? But I gotta go.
No,
I gotta go.
I've left for just regular good dick.
Nah, I ain't leaving
devil
for regular
dick.
Devil dick
is when, like, niggas really ain't shit. I've, like, when you Uber and dick to you.
Yep, I've done
when
that.
When you're inconveniencing yourself.
I've Ubered dick to me.
Me too.
Yes, indeed, I have. That's how being 24/7 started.
Let's check out this bitch's devil dick story.
Real quick, I also feel like when it comes to devil dick, because, I mean, I just feel like I've had quite a lot of devil dick, and it makes it to where it even becomes harder to have sex with other people because you know that they're not going to please
that's
you
the, worst,
the same.
You know
that's the worst.
Like that? Jeez,
that's
bro.
The worst. That's the worst.
I honestly fuck other people, and I'm like, damn. It's just not him, but I have to live my life.
I was fucking people outside of, like, of course, because I stopped with 24/7, like, you know, we're just not right now. And I'm not going to lie, fucking other people, I'm like, shit, this ain't what the fuck I was getting. But it'll do. One of the other letters that we got sent in about devil dick, it says, hey, whores, I hope you read my story. So this is my devil dick experience. So I matched with this guy on Tinder. Y'all, that's the devil already. Didn't think much of it and only met him after he constantly hit me up for 3 full months. At that time, I was in an unhappy relationship and we only met after I finally ended the relationship. We went out clubbing one night, me trying to be as horrible as possible, slept with him on the first night. It was amazing. Maybe because my boyfriend of 2 years had a small dick and this guy had a huge black Zimbabwean penis. Is Zimbabwean thing? Zimbabwean penis. Seeing that I'm not allowed to say cock. It's okay, sis. You can say cock.
I'm gonna be real. When it's real big, I feel like you gotta
say cock, right?
Cock.
Or you could just say dick. You gotta put the little dick.
It has to be like an emphasis on the K or an elongated dick. Yeah.
Yeah, I just say, I don't even think I say the K in that. It's just dick. I don't think I go.
I ain't gonna lie. I'd be like, bitch, he had a dick. You hear me?
Well, maybe that's you with the cat. I don't even think I say k. This is when it happened. We would go out for dinner, go back to his place, fuck, and I would spend a good 2 days there not knowing why I wasn't able to leave. Oh, Lord. I would have plans with my girls and cancel on them to get the best dick of my life. Stay there again for another 2 consecutive days, not wanting to leave because of the good dick. I finally found the courage to end it with him after 5 months by asking him not to contact me again because I felt like I didn't know what we were doing. I called it fucking with relationship tendencies because we would do shit together, fuck a lot, spend days in bed laughing, not fuck or date other people until I realized that I did not know what the fuck was happening in my life. Little did I know, it was devil dick. Moral of the story is, I spent days in this nigga's dirty ass apartment full of cockroaches. Oh, sis.
Bitch.
He left me there alone one day and I was walking around and checked the fridge that was partly open. It was in a not working condition with moldy food and cockroaches. Mind you, the nigga brought me breakfast in bed one morning and I am still to this day traumatized. Bitch. So I ain't gonna lie. Devil dick, though, bitch would have made me clean up that apartment. Might have made me buy him a motherfucking refrigerator. Bitch, what is you doing? The fuck is you doing, sis? True. Thank you for all of your free content. It ain't all free. Sign up to Patreon, sis. You get 3 bonus episodes.
Nah. She mentioned Patreon.
She said that she is currently in South Africa. Shout out to you. In other words, I'm broke divided by 18.3. Take your ass on.
Well, you know what,
wishing
sis?
You amazing. She's in Cape Town, South Africa.
I'm going to tell you right now. I fuck with you. At least you're a listener. And hey, if you guys aren't patrons, even though the content I feel like we put on Patreon is dope, just listening to this show specifically every Monday, subscribing to our show really gives us the room to provide more and more content because of the sponsors we get just by you listening. So trust me, you're doing your part and we appreciate you. And bitch, don't be fucking with none of these niggas with goddamn cockroaches. Bitch.
Not cockroaches, but it's crazy because I feel like devil dick niggas. So if we go back to okay, and y'all probably don't like the word regular, but I would say someone who's not a blue check, I feel like devil dick niggas be having like the Mitch matching sheets. They all have like floral sheets with like
no
different
headboard.
Color pillowcases, no head.
Yep.
I be like, damn, and I'm really fucking you on this. Your sheets don't even match, nigga.
Yeah.
That's definitely devil dick,
you
I would
know,
say.
The last really possibly. Bad dick. I mean, bad in a good way. Like, devil dick I got that I could think about when I was back home was in Florida. And that nigga had, like, Tupperware as drawers. You know what I'm saying? In big tubs. And I was like, God damn, this nigga. I'm still fucking you. And I remember, like, just thinking to myself. And I had been on the sugar daddy that I had took me on a jet for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Literally a month before. And I was like, I went from private jet planes to fucking Tupperware bins.
I mean, I'm not gonna.
Better like money and dick make you do different things.
It wasn't
dog.
Until I moved to New York, I really done fucked a nigga from the projects, like the real projects.
I ain't
like,
been to a New York PJ yet.
Oh, I have, and it was interesting. There was a lot of buildings, you know.
Oh, I've been in there to like buy drugs.
Oh. What? Which kind?
I can't tell you.
I know you can't. You stay bringing up shit. Oh, can't say. Next.
No. Just some fun, like, white people, like, dumb. I think when I first moved to New York, I went to this, like, Brooklyn, what's it called? Members only. It's this club that starts at 4 a.m.
Oh, they, when I worked, so I used to bartend at Nomo, which is the old Mondrian Hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of them worked at members only because the cocktails are, like, top-notch, like, top-notch bartenders working.
You're talking about employees only.
Oh, that is what I'm talking about. Employees only.
Employees only is lit. This is
employees
not only.
Only okay, employees only.
I will tell
only.
You how a members only works. I don't even know
employees
if it exists
only.
Anymore.
That is what
damn,
it is.
I'm just sitting here telling all my shit. Okay, I haven't been there in a long time, but I would love to go back. So members only works, basically, you can't sell alcohol after a certain time in New York, right? So what,
yes.
4 a.m. is the club closed. You can't sell after 3. So
yes.
At members only, you buy a raffle in the front. It's $10. You then deliver the raffle to the bartender who then gives you a gift of a drink.
Shut the fuck
you
up.
You never buy a drink. Ever. You just don't. That's how they
funny.
Apparently kept it legal. Bitch, I have been in there till 2 in the afternoon like, yeah!
I won't say the name of it, but so when I worked at Starlet's, there was another club that I did an afties at. And literally the drinks were put into Minute Maid bottles.
Oh my
it
God.
Was all pre-made.
That sounds like some Jamaican shit.
And literally, it was $10. And that's, but that there was liquor in it, and that's where you could get your liquor. And it was open till noon. So I would work literally 6 a.m. to noon.
That shit is mad fun,
yeah,
bro.
It was so much fun.
Nah, this was like, you I mean, know, so much I don't, I'm not in that time in my life anymore, but this was like, let's do a Molly and hold hands days. Like, bitch, I'd be in line for the bathroom. Let's say it'd be 10 people long. I'm talking to some white girl and be like, oh my God, no, like, I really feel connected to you spiritually. And then there was the best part about these parties. It was literally like five black people in there. And whenever I see them, I'd be like, yo, what's up, bro? And
just I'm randomly done. Start I'm talking done.
To niggas. And then be like connected to them the whole time. They'd be going somewhere. I'd be like, you good? All right, bitch. Because I'm making sure you. Bitch, I'm making sure you we in here.
Simple as that.
That's the best fucking part. Going to a party where like a bunch of random people are and you see someone black and you're just like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, Devil Dick, I want to know. What do you think is the furthest you've traveled for or the most you've inconvenienced yourself, whether it be like telling a lie at work? We already know I said I was getting an abortion just to go dick.
Yeah.
What have you done? Like, what have you done that was like just out there to get dick?
Well, and it's something that I never suggest now. I switched shifts, but I've called off work. And I think the furthest I traveled was to the Middle East. I went and spent a week in Doha with this nigga.
Did you know what the dick was like before you went there?
Yeah, I've been fucking him for 10 years.
I didn't know, bitch.
It was the nigga that I pissed on. So, like, because, yeah. But what's crazy is, that's where I pissed on him first.
Oh, well, you know, that's where he got it from, bitch.
Maybe, I don't know, but that's where I pissed on him first. But what's crazy is, this is what Devil Dick does, and I'll say, because our relationship was different. So I would say, this is probably to the most extent that I went, is literally outside of the bedroom. We do not get along. I don't even like the nigga. He ain't like, we don't talk to me. All we do is argue. We've called each other all types of terrible names. I don't went and dealt with old teammates. Long story short, we just don't like each other. We don't. But only in the bedroom. So I would say that's the most that I've done to where literally.
I almost want
to
play our live game with you where we do at the shows, because you just said I dealt with his old teammates. I'm like, how long would you last?
I mean, well, we lasted 10 years.
The game. Oh. How hard fart did you hoe?
Oh, I'd be standing up last, of course. But I would say that's the most extent that I've dealt with Devil Dick to where literally, I was dealing with someone who I hated. I think the other person that had Devil Dick, and I'll sit here and say this is the extreme that I went to, he had fucked multiple of my friends. And the dick was just so good. I was just like, I don't even care who you fuck. You could have fucked my mom. Like, it's okay. I know that you fucked Ooh. Over 1,000 people. I'm not going to sit here and say.
Is it? Hold on. Look at me. Oh.
For real? Hell yeah. He done fucked so many of my friends and bitches I know and my enemies. And I was like, okay, you fucked them, but it's okay. It's okay. We're just going to get through this. Right. Look, and my friend.
Wait.
And my friend like, oh, bitch, that's fine. I don't care. I say his name on the goddamn podcast anyway.
And so what the last question I have for you is, what do you think is the dumbest thing you've done?
Wait, you didn't answer, bitch. What's the most you done did for dick?
I don't want to say it.
No. Yeah. So go ahead. What you done did?
Okay. So there's a few dumb things. Oh.
I mean, pay for dick got to be the most.
I haven't paid for dick.
You haven't paid for dick yet?
But I have spent money towards things for dick. Like, you know what I'm saying? Not like, I've never actually done a transactional thing. But I fucked some, like, you know, I fucked some brokies. And I'll be like, yo, I'm trying to help you, like, elevate your shit. You know what I'm saying?
Sugar Mama Weezy, y'all.
I sound like I'm trying to do it. But I'm going to tell you why. Because my sugar daddy once said to me, and I'm not on his level by any means. That nigga made 40, 50 million a year. But he told me, like, listen, this has nothing to do with sex. Like, I want you to win. I'm in a place in my life where what you need is nothing to me. And if I can do it for you because I care about you, I'm going to do it for you.
So you say this to brokies?
Yeah.
Oh, like, that's
cute. Like, nigga, what? Like, I need you to just be consistent.
And look, here I go. The dick's still good. And I was like, well, let me know when my itinerary is booked. I'm still not going to fly myself.
I've never flied a nigga out or, like, done anything, like, flew out anybody. But I have definitely, like, dated some guys that have their own business and put some money into that. And I'd be like, and I know, nigga, I better be getting all the FaceTimes where you call me at work and tell me I look cute. I don't know why, but I need that shit sometimes. I need you to stroke my ego. I need you to feed me and fuck me. I don't really need the money, but like, go ahead, like, whatever you need. I'll buy your art and shit. I don't give a fuck.
That's cute.
I be doing that shit.
That's real cute.
And honestly, I'm starting to get a little turned on by it. Like,
I'm being a sugar mama.
Not like I'm not a sugar mama.
Oh yes, you are. You buy and fly to Paris. It. We've already talked about this. You're a sugar mama.
We are splitting our. You know what?
Okay. I mean, I'm just saying. You said it, not me.
She makes good money, bro. It's not. Listen. Okay. That she doesn't count.
Okay.
All right, let me stop for a second.
All right, what's the next question?
Basically, what I'm saying like, with the sugaring thing, it's not necessarily like I want to just like do this for people. Trust me, like I'd love to be taken care of. But there are parts of me that kind of like having the upper hand. And I know that a lot of ways that I can do it is with money. So I kind of just like whipping my dick out on the table and paying for shit.
Because I know that's right.
I kind of just pay you to almost go away and do what the fuck I want. That's what I feel like money for a woman means. With men, money can be used as courting. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I want to get you gifts. I want to do these things so that you will one day fuck me, so that you want to fuck with me. When I spend money on you, it's because I want you to do what the fuck I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what happens when I start to spend money on men, I believe. And I
normally
get it.
I can dig it.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
It's not like I'm like trying to come out as this girl who like can't get dick or like do whatever. It's just like, no, I just need you to act right.
Okay. I can dig it.
Right? Look at me, bitch.
I hear you. This is, we're clearly on the opposite end of this, but no, I hear you. It makes sense. I could see where you're coming from.
I would still love men to trick on me, but also I could do this too. So, all right, let's get into our home mail. How long have we been recording, by the way?
45 minutes.
All right, this is great. So I really like this one. 50 Shades of ED is the title.
And we both picked this one, so I'm excited.
I liked it.
So this is our home mail. Before I read it, just so you know, if you want to send in your home mail, you can send it into horribledecisions@gmail.com. Again, don't worry about us saying your name. We don't say any names when we read these letters.
Unless you write, like, love Skittles or some shit.
Yeah, we'll say a nickname, but we definitely won't put you on blast. So you can always feel comfortable. You are in a safe space, and
also,
you will get our opinion.
If you're ever at a live show and you want to ask a question, we ask the audience not to record the person if they want to record the question or the reaction. We ask our cameramen never to record the person. So you can. We're always about the anonymity.
Of course. So this one is called 50 Shades of ED. Hey, guys, just want to say that I'm obsessed with your show and I am binge listening until I hear everything. So I recently broke up with my 5-year on and off boyfriend. Since our breakup, I have been getting more in tune with myself and my sexuality. I have always been very open, but I've been a serial monogamous unintentionally for most of my life. I'm just trying to focus on myself, my artwork, my podcast, my happiness, because I am 26 and a mother of 2. So my happiness has to come second. I do want to say before I go, your happiness always comes first. Whether you have kids, whether you have a large family, your happiness always needs to come first.
You gotta do
and
some
your
self-care.
Happiness, your happiness will flow into your children, honey. So definitely you need to focus on your happiness first. Just like when you're in an airplane, you put the face mask on you first, then help the people next to you. That's what you need to think about, sis. I don't want anything too serious and vow to remain single all year. And honestly, unless it's some sort of polyamory, I will probably remain single after. I recently made a seeking profile because I genuinely want a sugar daddy to invest in my up and coming businesses. Today, I found this guy who wants me to dominate him. I've considered it before, but I never actually did it. And now I really want to, but I'm not sure what to do to get things started. I am a very dominant woman. However, I love to submit in the bedroom. But let's be honest, for the right amount, this pussy will pop. That is my mood all 2019.
Yeah, that's a word.
Where do I begin? Ooh. I've attached his bio so you can get a feel for what I'm dealing with. Thank you. Love, strawberry lemonade. So I want.
Oh, she really did write it.
She did say strawberry lemonade. So she actually took a screenshot of what his profile says on Seeking. And I want to, of course, ask your opinion on this after, not only from what he's asking, but maybe how she can come to fruition with this.
Yeah.
His profile reads, this is the sugar daddy that she met on Seeking, for those of you to stay caught up. So it says, I like discreet femdom play, particularly role reversal with you on the other end. Yes, that means what you think it does. Your age, race, etc. doesn't matter, except you must be 18 plus. Well, that's nice.
Well, come on.
You know, I am very discreet and expect you to be as well. I have ED, which is erectile dysfunction. So I'm basically harmless, but I'm exploring other things. The release works just fine. So he's basically saying he can still come, he just doesn't get hard. In fact, for the right woman, I may make a mess. And the right woman may think about whether she needs to make me clean it up. I have a paddle, humbler, your equipment, and cuffs. Perhaps you'll want to put them in a vise and see how far we can go. If you love doing it and want to do it again, or just always wanted to find out, contact me and maybe we can make it work. I am also open to your ideas. Anything you ever wanted to do, let me know. Please feel free to ask any questions.
So I was just thinking when you were reading it. So like when
I wish I ran into this nigga.
What is your equipment? Oh, like your paddles, your.
No, I have your equipment. So I would assume that's a strap on. That's a strap on for sure.
Oh.
And I have your equipment as well. So, yeah.
I honestly feel like I could have sex with someone for money easier than I could to dominate them for money.
So that's the.
That seems like a lot of work to me. I also want to.
It is.
I want to take this second. It just came to my mind. I don't want to forget it. Donatella Den. Have you heard of this?
No.
This is on New York. I think it's on 37th and 5th. It's been there for years. It's the oldest running like BDSM dungeon or some shit. She sees an ad on Craigslist and it's asking for a phone receptionist. She's like, when I got there, the position was filmed. But they looked for someone to be a dom. I said, bitch, they got y'all.
No, that's exactly what they were looking for from the beginning.
Like Netflix.
That is what it was.
So basically, she works at this place. She gets walk-ins, it's appointments, or either one you want, and it's all domination, no sex. In the place, they have pig masks, floggers, shit to peg, all kinds of stuff. And she said she's seen like 3 people since she started. The first one just wanted his head to get shaved while he jerked off. Not all of them jerk off. The other guy just wanted to be like kicked or whatever and spit on and stuff like that. A lot of people ask for pegging, but... yeah, there are places that you can go for this. And I'm like, yo, you got to get me some of these bitches in there. She's like, I got you, sis. So, yeah.
It's so weird because I've had this question from a lot of my friends. So I'm into being dom. And like I said, even at the live show, a lot of the guys that enter submission with me literally want to be referred to as my bitch. They want to be my sex slave. They want to be my submissive. And a lot of my friends would be like, bitch, you doing this for free? So on the flip side, like you said, I don't think I could literally do this with someone I'm not attracted to, someone who I don't have the sexual chemistry with. That's hard.
If it turns you on to be dominant. So she said there was one guy, she's like, you know, I was there at work and this girl basically had someone who had a humiliation fetish. She said it was like 14 of us that he just wanted to like talk shit and say he had a little dick and laugh at him.
Yeah.
And then like she, I guess he didn't want to lick the shoe of certain girls and the girl that he had was white. And she was like, oh, no. She was like, she noticed it was a black woman. She was like, lick all of their shoes. And she was like, white girl was like sticking up for us and shit, trying to be like, nah, get them hoes. And dog, she's like, everybody's about the humiliation shit. She said someone's wife came in. They're like, I know he's in here.
So
like,
my
known place in New York.
My advice for her would be to make yourself comfortable. And I gave this advice as well at the live show because someone asked this. I would say maybe tune into porn in which there are women dominating men. So this is something that I had to do. I found a FinDom.
To learn how to do it.
And he wanted to be humiliated. And I literally was like, I've never had to really humiliate a guy before. And what I did is I looked up all these FinDom accounts on Twitter and saw how they were talking to men and took notes that way. So you could definitely take notes from porn. Also, this is something else that I suggested. If you're not able to, and if you're able to watch it, I've been enjoying a lot of trans porn, and trans women are very dominant and confident with turning men into their submissives. Yeah. So that may also be a category of porn that you could watch to kind of see what you can do to be dominant in the bedroom.
I think that a big deal with this whole thing is like, listen, yes, you're doing something for money, but I've always felt like if you don't feel comfortable, then don't do it.
Right.
Like I just said, I would rather fuck somebody than do that. I know it's crazy because it seems like sex is so much more, but I feel like it would be a lot harder for me to do and a lot more difficult and a lot more to mentally prepare for. Whereas I feel like I can enjoy sex, not with anybody, but like I feel like I can legit become attracted to someone. I never believed that until my sugar daddy. Like he did all of these things for me before we had sex. And I knew he cared about me and we spent so much time together that I was like, yeah, I can fuck you.
I know. I'm so shallow. Even my sugar daddies all look good.
I mean, lucky for you, but.
I know. And I get lucky. And they all black and they all under 40.
You know what?
I don't know how I got so lucky.
I honestly can't complain. I used to take my little old. You seen a picture of him, right?
Well, yeah, the one, yeah, that you had, your little white man.
He would take me, like, I'd be taking him to all the places. I ever told you about when I took him to the Nike store?
Mm-mm.
So he bought me whatever he just never told me no. But I also didn't really need to ask. I'd be like, what do you want to do today? Do you want to, like, do something, like maybe like, you know, like a mall? And he'd be like, oh, because you want to shop? You want to buy a bag? You want to do that? Yeah, I do. So we go to the Nike store in Soho or Fifth Ave. I can't remember. And you know all the niggas work at the motherfucking Nike store. Girl, I'm coming in with my little white man, 5'8", kind of chubby. And I was like, so I'm going to basically need about 30 minutes. I can buy all my stuff and then we can go eat. He's like, okay. I was like, but come tell me if you like it. So I'm taking him to the store and all these niggas is looking at me because I was looking mad cute. I used to, you know, sugar daddies love when you dress up. That's a big deal. They love showing you off. Oh, I used to wear.
Girl, I'll be going without my hair done. I'll be like, I'm going to take this wig off. My sugar daddies don't care.
I've never really had that experience. I don't take my wig off. I felt like if somebody is paying for me that they really enjoy showing you off and taking you out to nice places.
I'm looking
good
either way.
Well, are you going to like a shit like
that? Yeah, we went out. He would take me like to cigar bars and shit. And I would go with a bun. I don't care. You're going to get me.
All right.
You
like me for me. I will at least say this. I make sure that I'm looking the fucking part. If you paying for it, fine. So we go in the store. And these niggas were like, oh, you with your daddy? And I was like, no, I'm with my daddy. And he gonna buy me whatever the fuck I want. So these niggas looking at me like, what you doing later, blah, blah, blah. He goes up to one of them and he was like, listen, I know what you're trying to do there, bro, but no, I doubt that you have enough money to fulfill those needs. I was like, damn. And I realized that these ugly ass sugar daddies legit get off on knowing that they can pay for you.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
You're fucking with better looking dudes, right? So it probably looks like y'all might have just met any regular ass place. But the ones that are on a seeking arrangement or like this, I doubt it. They just want to feel like the man. So by you being this super extravagant, super hot or whatever bitch they know they can't have and they got to pay for it, they be knowing and they like when other people know too.
I'm just really shallow. I had a diplomat from one of the African countries and I just couldn't get past even being out. I was just like, he used to want me to write. I didn't care how much money he was giving me. No, I'm sorry. I don't do that. What do you want?
What?
Do anything. I'm not getting on your dick. I'm not writing.
I agree. If you don't want to do anything, don't do it.
No. And so I was just like, even when we went out, I was just like, I was bringing all my friends. I just made it a night where we all like went out and I got a nigga to pay for everything.
But I didn't like being too intimate. Don't have to be sex. Like, to be real, like, I didn't have sex with him for a minute, bro. I didn't have sex with him for a minute.
He wanted sex.
But some of them do, some of them don't. And I also think with sex work, like, you don't just have to do whatever you want. Like, the chick that I was talking to that works at Donatella Den, she was like, bro, I say no all the time. She was like, I be saying no to mad shit. She said, some dude wanted me to get naked. I was like, no.
Like, oh, yeah. I think it's very important to know. Like,
don't think just because you're getting paid.
For any man even thinking if you get a sex worker, you can now ask her to do anything, they still, regardless of how much money you're giving them, still have the right to say no. And you need to accept no because there's still a strong level of consenting to whatever it is, despite how much money you give this girl.
So with this guy, if I were you, if you were down to do it, I would just tell him, ask him his wants or how a perfect scenario would go for him, or maybe ask for videos that he's into, et cetera. Also, figure out what you are not comfortable doing. Let him know. And then you guys will work it out from there. But coming up with a safe word to make sure that your sub is safe, you know, especially if he's asking for some shit like hitting or things like that, making sure he's comfortable and letting him know that he's in a safe space. If you can find that episode we did with Lisa Spliffson, find that episode because she talked about how to take care of her subs. And I really liked how she kind of explained that. And Goddess Unk too. Or Mistress Unknown.
Yeah, Mistress Unknown. Shout out to them.
So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
I'm tired, babe.
I know we're really here on a Sunday, bro.
I'm exhausted.
I'm trying to think what I want to tell you guys. Oh, Patreon. If you haven't, check it out. It's a really fun ass community for us. Mandy and I recently have been going back and forth with some conference calls regarding merch and we're coming closer and closer to the decision that we just really love merch being for patrons. Like, we know y'all want shit, but I just find it so dope that we have this community of people that get to earn it and don't have to pay for it. It's just literally being a member of the fucking hive. So check out this next clip from one of our Patreon episodes. We hope you love it. We're glad you listened. Thank you for tuning in. Rate us, subscribe, and listen every Monday. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Do you have the? We're back. We have another person of color in the room. Who would have known? Akash.
Person of color. PC ass Wheezy, huh?
What do we call you?
You can say I'm Indian. Me and Benson out here got our own little alliance.
We got Akash. And that was fucked up.
Who cares?
I'm about to lose
it. It wasn't a good accent, but who cares?
What's a good one?
A good Indian accent?
Yeah, give it to me.
Honestly, mine's not. Real talk, my girl, she's going to get all shy, but hers is actually, like, fantastic, and it embarrasses me because I don't have that good one, and she's not a comic, so I don't do it.
It's that bad?
My shit is it's cool to y'all.
Here we go.
But it's
both
not
of y'all,
a real Indian
comedian.
Knows. Yeah.
Who is going to do the better one? The black guy or the Indian guy?
I'm not doing an accent on command, fam.
Why y'all all do this?
Because it feels too like.
Because it might turn out to like,
I feel like too much
something.
Of a monkey. Not in a racial
Jamaican
sense,
Scottish
but just
person.
Like, hey, do this for me. And I'm like, all right. You know I mean? It's too much. Anytime someone tells me to do something, I get like,
people been telling me.
Tell me a joke.
Right? Yeah, I'm not the fucking drum monkey.
People been telling me to do the 90 Day Fiancé accent because I did it like on the show.
Right.
And it's a southern accent. This woman dating this Nigerian
I saw that
dude.
Clip. It's very good.
Thank
very
you.
Good accent.
Michael.
I grew up in the South.
So we were out.
Yeah, Michael is perfect. Michael.
Bro, I could
perfect.
Not fucking get it. We were out. I was fucked up. This girl was like, please do it. I swear to God, I sounded Latino. I was like, Michael. This is bad. Okay. So I want to get some advice from you guys. Here is two letters from our listeners. He don't want to be a freak no mo. That is the subject. Mm. Mandy and Weezy, I've been dating this guy for 6 months now, and I'm starting to get confused by my place with him, and I'm getting bored. I'm not going to lie. I kind of wanted to be more than fucking, but being that he's going through a divorce, I knew I was fooling myself with this shit. Plus, it seemed like I had to beg for his attention at times because supposedly he doesn't have his phone on him all the time, and he really doesn't use his phone, which I find hard to believe. But anyway, I've learned to adjust. When I decided to hit him up, he asked things like, where you been and why now, which is confusing. When I met him, he talked about how he used to
be. Oh, my God, that's confusing. Get the fuck. Go ahead. Sorry.
They're asking for help.
I'm telling. Yeah, tough love. Let's go.
Okay. He asked this thing like, where you been? Why now? It's confusing. And when I met with him, he used to talk about how he used to be a bull, which is a cuckold, stripper, hosted sex parties, orgies, and a lot of other crazy shit. But I'm not getting that side of him. He likes to make love, which is cool. But if he was my nigga, but we just fucking like, and I'm like, damn, this is word for word. Nigga, fuck me like he was fucking them bitches back then. And when I say something to him about it, he says, that was my past. And I'm like, so why you be telling me about it? And I need to know, what do I do? How do I address it? Sincerely, a bitch just trying to get fucked by the bull.
This is two different emails, is it not? The first email is, why don't this dude like me? And the second email is, why can't I fuck this dude with a strap on?
Dude,
it's two different emails in one. Am I wrong, Travis?
It's not a strap on.
Whatever, Brody. Who cares? Wait, cuckold, is he the one watching or he's the one being spectated?
Now that she said the bull, maybe he's the one being spectated. But my main thing, and if he's hosting
I'm gonna
sex
be honest,
parties.
Any black dude, I assume, is the one fucking.
Me too.
Right? If I met a black actual cuck, I'd be like, you motherfucking sellout, boy. You are an embarrassment.
We type in BBC. That's what it's not what we thought we would see. Okay, wait.
She knew what she was getting herself into.
Yeah.
How? You can't, because, like, he was getting divorced when she was trying to talk to him?
Oh, so he wildin'. So what do you think about that my phone is not on me shit?
That's bullshit.
That's a lie. This is 2019. You feel what I'm saying? Everybody got their phone on.
I guarantee you, she looked at his Twitter, seen tweets while he's ignoring her.
She's
and
like,
still
oh my
believes.
God, he's alive.
She's like, oh, he must be sending that from his computer.
Yo,
no.
On some real shit, I don't want to be ignored so much. And when dudes ignore me, I just assume they're dead. I'm like, fuck, yo. The 6 train is delayed because he jumped in front of it. That's what can happen. I literally be telling, and I always do the same thing when I finally get hit up. I'd be like, oh my God, you're okay. Even though I've like totally just
you gotta keep that internal. Oh my God, you're okay. You gotta play it cool.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I keep hiding it.
She gotta fuck other dudes. That's what she gotta do. She gotta fuck other dudes and then keep him on the side. Am I wrong?
She does need to move on.
But
honestly,
why?
I feel like because what she's trying to give him, I don't think she's not gonna get it from him. If he's saying that's my past, he probably doesn't even like her like that. You feel what I'm saying?
Maybe he only wants to cuck out with people he likes.
Or maybe he just only wants to make love to her. And
which
what
is what's weird to me is I'd never think I want to make love to a girl that's on the side.
That's what I was thinking. But we're saying she's on the side. No, she's on the side.
This bitch a side bitch. Call this bitch mashed potatoes. This bitch ain't nowhere in the main course. This bitch French fries.
Wait, let me see what collard greens talk about.
Collard greens.
Okay, look, girl. I'm be real with you. I feel like sometimes y'all write us.
This bitch ain't even a side. She parsley.
And there's
parsley.
No answer for what the real, like, there's no way to explain someone ignoring you, except it's very basic. They're just not that into you. Mm. He's dating other people. He's probably seeing other people.
If you were with a dude and you told him, I don't have my phone on me like that, is that real?
Hell no!
Exactly, just flip it. This is a very equal thing. If a girl did that to me, I would be like, yo, she's curving me. I would still holler constantly because that's hilarious to get rejected over and over. And maybe it works. But if you don't want this...
hoe.